Record. Alrighty. Okay, ready?
Yes.
All right. Anita? Anita? Has anyone seen Anita or heard from her? Yao? Yao? Has anyone seen Yao?
Yao, you're muted.
Oh, he's here? Okay.
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry about that.
Okay, that's cool. Thomas? Blanton?
Here.
Okay. Sarah? Sarah? Wayne?
Here.
Marsha?
Here.
Bill Curtis?
Here.
Violetta?
Here.
Vanessa?
Here.
Sue Goodwin? Sue Goodwin? Is she trying to, is she muted? Sue Goodwin?
I think she just came in. She's okay. Here by there.
Okay, Donna?
Here.
Brian?
Present.
Okay. Kamel?
Present.
Kamel? Julie?
Here.
Okay, Arthur Highland contacted us. He is unable to attend the meeting today. Kathleen contacted us. She said she's unable to attend the meeting today. Arthur McLeod? Arthur McLeod? Anyone see him? Arthur McLeod? Okay, I'll come back. Max?
Here.
Max? Okay. Eileen?
I'm here.
Minerva?
Present.
Adele?
I'm here.
Frank Stern also emailed. He's unable to attend the meeting. Tim Willard?
Here.
And then Dennis is here.
Yes.
Okay, going back. Has anyone heard from Sarah?
She's here.
She's here.
She's here? Okay. All right. Anyone else? Okay, that's it. Everyone's here. So the only individuals absent are Arthur Highland and Kathleen, and also Frank Stearns in the email. So they're excused. Okay.
So the other two people missing are Anita and McLeod, is that correct?
Anita, right. We haven't heard any, I haven't heard anything from Anita, and I haven't heard anything from Arthur. No one's seen him on the, he's not on?
Don't see him, no.
Now he did, no. He didn't mention he would. Usually he'll let us know if he's not able to make it.
Yeah.
I'll just put a question mark. And no one has heard anything from Anita? I haven't seen an email or anything. Okay.
All right. Thank you. We will proceed. Welcome. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here. You could have been anywhere. Many of you probably wish you were somewhere else, but here we are. And let's get started. First item will be approval of the agenda for this meeting. Any objections? Oh, Arthur McLeod is in the waiting room, by the way.
Oh, let me get him. Arthur, admit, and Sabu.
Any objections to approving the agenda? All right, hearing none, the agenda for this meeting is approved. The meeting, the minutes for the September meeting. Any objections to approving those? Okay, hearing none, those minutes are approved. Is the general manager here? First item on the agenda is the management report. I know the program director, is on leave for this meeting, so we will not have a program director's report. And I have not heard from the general manager. Have you heard anything come out?
I have not heard directly from Jerry, no.
Okay.
I've got some indirect information from the finance committee, but nothing directly.
Okay. Can, are you able to proceed? Come on.
Sure. You want to do the finance committee now?
Well, you want to wait and see if the general manager comes?
Yeah, I mean, my, presentation will be very high level. Any granularity or specific questions would be, directed to the GM. Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Well, in the sake of time, let's skip down to the PNB. Julie, you want to start?
There's a hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thomas.
It might be null now with all the people that are not reported, but I wanted to get a time check on the meeting. What would be the procedure for saying we finish at 10:30, 11 o'clock? How could we police ourselves to that?
We can stay on the agenda because, we shouldn't be here until 10:30 or 11 o'clock.
Take your word for it. Let's go.
Yeah, okay. I get up at 5 to start working on the news.
Okay.
And I gotta get my sleep or else there's hell to pay.
Okay.
So much past 10 would be.
Yeah.
I agree. All right. So that's why we're going to move through the agenda, as we can. So Julie, do you want to start with the National Board report?
Although I'm racking my brain for what we can say in open session.
Okay.
And I'm not coming up with much.
Okay. Let me also say that, if there is anything, if there's any, PNB news, that is not appropriate for open session in between meetings, I think it would be a good idea to share with the board, through email.
That's a good idea. Thank you. We'll strive for that in the future.
Any notifications or updates to come through before the next meeting?
You bet.
Vanessa, Donna, any other news from your National Board committees?
I have nothing to add.
I don't either.
Okay. I don't either. Who else? Who's the other delegate?
Sue Goodwin.
Sue?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've been trying to find out what committees I'm on and haven't been successful. So.
Okay.
Sue, you're on programming for one, for
there's
sure.
There's that one?
I think there's one more, but at least programming.
Okay, thank you.
Actually, Dennis, I'll say one thing about the PNB, which is, and I can say this part in an open session. We have spent a lot of time in closed session lately because of Pacifica's financial position and dealing with that, right? The thing that we have not addressed as a PNB yet, and we need to before too terribly long, is the fact that, you know, this is 2022, and technically speaking, we were supposed to have elections in 2022. We didn't, LSB delegate elections, right? Yeah. And, you know, half the folks here, their terms are up at the end of December. And so the PNB is going to have to, that's true at all the LSBs, that's not just PFW, right? And so the PNB is going to have to grapple with that. And while the financial stuff has seemed much more time sensitive of late, we do recognize that we're going to have to do something about elections. And, you know, I don't want to prejudge what we might do, but we'll try to do something soon and, you know, share that information with all the LSBs, et cetera. So it's not that we don't know that we're supposed to be doing this.
Thank you. Yeah, I was, I meant to ask about that because it would be good to know by November.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I share some good news?
Oh, yes, please.
So I don't know if you're aware, but I know Julie is. My husband, Chip, is a comedian, and he also is a co-host on Community Watch and Comment. And so one night at 4 a.m, we said, let's do a comedy fundraiser for the fund drive. So we launched it last week, and we've only got 7 pairs of tickets left.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that is on the Thursday, the
10th
of right. November?
Yes. Yes. So that's good. You know, just remember, listeners do like us.
So, Dennis, Chair Vanessa to the stack, please.
Yes.
Okay, so I knew that you and I had talked. So I knew that the fundraiser was coming and follow up to a conversation that you and I had. How do you get a ticket?
You know, let me work on that for you. Let me make a note. And I need to talk to Katia because she is setting some aside, which she's designating for key people. So let me talk to her about that. Okay.
I'm so happy to be a key people. Okay.
Yeah. Well, are you kidding? Yeah. So I need to do that tomorrow.
Okay, thank you.
Jerry joining.
It's a huge room, but
let's see you, Jerry.
Okay, thank you.
Also, Arthur McLeod has come in.
Okay. Yeah.
Was that why your hand was up, Eileen?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, Arthur McLeod and Jerry Paris are now in the room, and Jerry, actually, you have the floor.
Oh, okay. Sorry for joining in late. I had been in touch with, well, from the last meeting when we spoke in the Finance Committee meeting in communications with Kamal, we wanted to get the granular data over to the Finance Committee and actually, you know, to the entire board. And we have to fall in line with what is standard procedure. I want to be as transparent as possible, but we're being advised from the central office, Markeisha is now our CFO, that there is limited data available. You know, for reasons of security, I can't give you everything. I can't give you all the names of the vendors. There's a certain liability with that. But I do want transparency. Kamal, if he's on, he should have received some information from Vanessa today.
Vanessa?
I mean, not Vanessa, excuse me.
Markeisha.
Yes, I got an email from Markeisha about just after 6 o'clock tonight. Yep.
Okay, excellent. So she's going to be providing as much information as she can to you directly as opposed to it coming from me or Annette. So she is basically our CFO now, and that is standard procedure that you get the information from Markeisha. It gets further complicated tonight in that I have to work. I will be on air pitching with Eugenia between 7 and 8 o'clock. So I'll have to dismiss myself basically between at 7:20 and at 7:40 because I've got to go on the air and try to raise funds within Come Beat Lakai, the show that's going to be on the air between 7 and 8. But I'm here at the moment, so I can, since I have the floor, I can field any questions that you guys may have.
Okay, Sarah?
Just want to register present.
Okay, we got you.
I'm on a train right now, so I'll probably be coming in and out.
Okay, thank you, Sarah.
Okay, while we have Sarah, I want to make a quick statement to Sarah. You must arrange with us to get to the transmitter. That's it. You have to see the transmitter site, Sarah, because you would appreciate it probably more than most. So we'll make that arrangement when Roger. You get back in town.
Okay, Roger.
Thank you.
Okay, Vanessa.
So in terms of...
You raised your hand. Yay.
So I've been trying. Very funny. Ha ha. I submit. Fine. So in terms of Markeisha, the new CFO, saying that financial information as basic as who are the consultants that comprise $147,000 of our budget, that that's somehow top secret. Did Markeisha offer a reason as to why, or is that something that Markeisha can come to this body and explain why we can't have access to our own financial information?
It would be appropriate for her to come to the body and explain that, yes. Now, to give you a little bit of recent history, I can tell you that we had rogue operators on the LSB that approached vendors and caused damage in the past. That's the past, but that did happen. WPFW lost 6 months of free rent because members of the LSB were not happy with the arrangement that was made when we were making a transition from our L Street location to our M Street location. So real damage has been done. And that's not the only incident. There are statements that I'm getting from finance to the effect of we have vendors that have let us skip, if you will. You know, and they don't want that type of information to get out. You know, they don't want other debtors to know that they've let Pacifica or WPFW skate for X number of months when there are other people that are liable or have liabilities. So there are tangible reasons coming from Markeisha, our CFO, and we will resolve it. I'm sure that we will come to a way of resolving it, that you get the information that you want without it being introducing further liability. So I don't know that she wants to be on this call today.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Chair, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Somebody put a comment in the chat that we signed confidentiality agreements. And if I'm understanding the statement correctly, that covers the question. I don't recall signing a confidentiality agreement for the LSB, and if so, would that preclude us as fiduciaries from receiving basic financial information?
Excuse me, point of information there?
Yes.
If you signed a non-disclosure agreement on the PNB, it applies all the way down the line. It applies to all of Pacifica.
Okay, so then the question remains the same. I did sign a non-disclosure for the PNB, but what precludes fiduciaries of this station from receiving basic information, financial information about this station?
And what I was going to say, because that's for people who were on the PNB. I did not sign one of those. What I was going to say is that I'm going to work with Kamau to get that information from Markeisha. And I don't see any reason why it can't be at least shared confidentially among the members of the board.
Thank you.
Without necessarily being broadcast, but that's what I'm going to try to get to.
Okay, thank you, Chair.
Okay, Minerva?
Okay, Jerry, I just have to ask, and I did reach out to you and to the station about helping get items out. And we tried to coordinate something, but it didn't happen. Are we waiting on Annette to identify when there will be items that need to go out?
Yes. I can tell you they're not at the station right now because, you know, usually we have piles of premiums that we're trying to get out of the way. They're not at the station right now. So I'm in daily communication with Annette. As soon as we get something, I'll be in touch with you. We will make that happen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Adele.
Sorry about that. I mean, this sounds really nonsensical to me, and I'll tell you why. I spent my journalism career covering the right wing of American politics, and the right wing comprises a number of nonprofit organizations, both C3s and C4s. I don't know which Pacifica is. I would imagine it's a C3, but Julie can correct me if that's wrong. Now, every 990 form, which is the form that a nonprofit files with the IRS, lists the top paid, the 10 top paid people in an organization and their salaries. It also lists all of the vendors and what they were paid, every single dang vendor. This is public information once it is filed with the IRS. To say that any kind of NDA could prohibit people from knowing, who are on the board, from knowing this information, to me, makes absolutely no legal sense unless somebody can explain to me something different. And I really feel like some kind of smoke screen is being thrown. Now, I don't know the people involved. I probably shouldn't say that, but it just doesn't, it doesn't land right.
I will have to agree because it begins to sound like Pacifica is operating above the law. I mean, a 990 is a 990. And if it is standard procedure to list all vendors on a 990, then you're right. That is open public information. I will feed that back.
Julie, were you trying to say something? No, okay. Other comments, questions for Jerry?
Well, if there are not any, I am going to have to excuse myself because in order for me to participate in a broadcast and pitch for support, I'm going to have to listen to the show for a few minutes so that I'm in context with the broadcast. But before I go, I want to share what I will call a Rod Serling or Alfred Hitchcock moment that I had yesterday because I reached out to come out because it's very important for me to be in touch with the treasurer on almost a daily basis. It turns out there are two Kamals at WPFW. The Kamal that I called was a hip-hop DJ and did not know what I was talking about. It was kind of nightmarish because we have business to attend to. It took me a few minutes to realize I got the wrong Kamal. So I just wanted to share that moment. I've got to go to work. As soon as I finish pitching, I will rejoin the call.
All right, thank you.
Chair Vanessa Stack, this is an inquiry for you.
Yes.
Could you, I am making a request for you to have Markeisha come to this body and explain whatever it is we're not supposed to have access to.
Yep. Yes.
Thank you.
I will probably be rejoining at 7:30. I'd have to excuse myself. Sorry, everybody.
Okay. Kamal?
Okay.
Is there much left to say?
Well, yeah, sure. So the email I received early this evening from Markeisha did have our most recent August financials. I literally just saw it as soon as I was signing on to this meeting. So I can email that as a part of the finance committee report. It's just a high level point here. The income in August. See if I can give that to you. Yeah, total income received in August, $53,820. Versus total expenses of $135,734. So that gives us a net loss in August of $81,914, bringing the year to date through August at $33,000 essentially loss, on the financials. So I haven't had a chance to really vet this. I'll send it out, Chair, you let me know if we need to send, if I can send it now, I'll send it now, but I can't speak to it in any kind of detail at all. What I also received was, from, Markeisha was something that they're calling a cash versus accounts payable. And, cash on hand as of today. So we're at $19,732. So as of that, now I didn't get a chance to speak to Jerry because I knew, you know, he was leaving, but one of the other pieces, was going to be about the FY23 budget and how we were going to essentially, address that and prepare that for review, by this body. And then of course, further by the PMB, that has not come up in any of our conversations about timing. Only as a fact that it's due. So, we still have that on the table as a to do. And, there are some other details in the email explaining, exactly what Jerry is saying, that certain things the, PMB does not typically share. One of them being the vendor list. So yeah, we'll have to talk about that further, I guess at some other time.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and send that out? I'm not going to stop for it now, but if people get a chance to take a look, and if anybody has a question for you and or Jerry sort of before the meeting is over, we can go back to that.
The other thing
about the cash on hand, now there was a determination of what we are the priority expenditures, and that came to okay.
Sorry.
That was a little over 20. Was that right, Kamal?
The priorities?
Yeah.
No. So what we were prioritizing was the fact that we could actually fund the payroll that was due this week.
Correct.
And I was assured, Markeisha assured us that that was funded and that payroll will be met this week.
Okay.
So that was her statement. Okay. Beyond that, there isn't any other listing of the priorities that we had kind of identified as being paid. So okay. But that one was.
Okay, so do we know if the 19 is what was left over after payroll?
Good question. I do not. I'll have to put that on the as a question.
Okay.
Yep.
Other questions? I mean, I know there are a lot of unanswered questions. Anyone have anything specific to raise?
Yeah, I do apologize. There's been some transition, as we all know, and then also a lot of, who's responsible for what now, back and forth. So we're ironing that out, and the finance committee should have something, solid here. Within the next 30 days, that's our intent to make sure especially along the lines of the budget and also just trying to shore up our cash position.
Yeah, and I just want to say, speaking for myself and on Kamal's behalf, it is, it's my commitment to begin to bring to this body, more complete information than we've been, chewing on, previously. I think there's, speaking for myself, there's been a level of, satisfaction and trust, at a level that's far too vague. And so we're going to dig in some more. Okay. The next thing on the agenda is the program committee.
Okay. I didn't submit a written report, but we did meet Monday, finally.
Okay.
Meeting. We just realized we have a vice chair, Minerva Sanders. So we're fully, fully operational. We don't need to have another election. We decided to keep meetings at the same time on the fourth Monday of the month because of the PMB meetings, and it doesn't conflict with other meetings, even though it's after the LSB. So we're coming along and we're working on a few projects, we're working on a more useful grid, I guess I would say. What is really airing, little description of what that is, when those shows are airing, that kind of thing. Because right now, there have been some changes. We do have a hard copy of an old grid. So that's something we're working on, for example.
So this grid would be for us, for the public?
Yes, for our use. For our use, for sure. Possibly for the public, but we're thinking for the LSB use. So that we all know what shows are airing, when they're airing, and what kind of programming we're doing right now. What's the gist of each show?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Good idea. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any program committee questions?
You might want to talk about the LSB show?
Yep, that's where I'm going next. Sabu?
Good evening, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, the previous LSB show, of course, the co-hosts, Thomas Blanton and Bill Curtis, we had a segment, Children Safe, and we actually had two young people, teenagers, who were in school. And they gave us their perspective of what's going on in the street. We always hear from the adults and what they think they can resolve, but we had a candid, conversation with two teenagers. And then the second segment that we had was the Michael Novick, who is now the temporary GM, I believe. Is that correct, Dutch?
Yes.
So he was on the show. The last time we had him, he was the chair of the LSB show. I mean, of the LSB at KPK. So he was somewhat promoted up. So he is now the GM. So we had him on. We talked about some community activities going on. We didn't have Miss Cooper on, but I talked to her, and she will possibly bring us up to date on any activities going on with her son, this month. And, that was it. That was basically it. And the next show, we're going to have we're going to have an open mic kind of situation. We're going to do some community, notes. Thomas has different community groups that we can do like a couple minutes about what they're doing or information for the community, the housing thing, different programs that people can get information to help themselves, to pull themselves up. So we're going to be doing that on the next show. And that's about it. And we're going to have more of an open mic. We're going to have people call in. So, and we haven't had that before. So that should be interesting.
you know, about how much time you're going to devote to call in each show?
About 25, 30 minutes. You know, that's the attempt.
Okay.
So we'll see.
It might be a lot, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to Pinchback about that. He's got some, you know, skills behind that. So he does, his show is an open call-in show. So.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it.
Okay, Thomas, there are some things you wanted to discuss.
Yeah, I submitted a document that I put on your screen. I don't know if it's been circulated. The discussion with the program committee, the discussions that we had last meeting, and offline discussions, I realized that I needed to do like a mid-term evaluation. Plus, I realized that there are probably a lot of new LSP members who don't know why I am the co-host as opposed to one of them might want to be the co-host. So I submitted this document. Can people see it?
No.
What do I need to do?
I think you need permission from the host or co-host.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you?
Yes.
Yes, the permission has already been given.
Okay.
Pull the document up and then share it. Pull the document up first. Mo Thomas is joining us.
I have it on my screen.
Okay, we don't see it.
Now you need to go to the green button down at the bottom, share screen.
And the share screen is up?
Yep.
There you go.
Can you see it now?
Okay. Yep.
I've been presented with professional and personal comments from the LSB leaders who on my performance, specifically in my capacity as LSB co-host. I accept that the introduction of personal matters into the broadcast is not appropriate and should not be a part of the WPLW program without prior clearance. As I attempt to respond and draw lessons from these experiences, I offer these notes. To my knowledge, I have introduced, interviewed, and commented on the following topics for broadcast: the U.S. blockade against Cuba, the murder of Kwame Nkrumah and other black males by police, the problem with housing, especially public housing, the opinion and issues facing youth, the campaign to cease murders in DMV, Juneteenth 2022, interviews with Mark Marial, president of the National Urban League, plaintiffs in the Supreme Court case on Alabama redistricting, and there may be others that I've forgotten. The primary news sources I use are the Washington Post, WAMU, WPFW, and my LRCA community newsletter. I draw on my political, professional, civic, and faith to identify issues that I believe are worthy of broadcasting. Like any media, especially one that belongs to the public, I accept and encourage comments on my presentation and content. I encourage the LSB, the chair, and the host to monitor and comment on what is done in the name of WPFW. What I am seeking is if there's any comments that people want to make publicly or privately, I'll accept it. I'm particularly sensitive to people hollering at me. It's a long history, and if anybody wants to do that, we can talk to offline. But it's really, really gets to me when people holler at me. And so I did my best not to holler back. But I would appreciate if people don't holler at me. In terms of communication, I reached out to people who made statements. They don't want to talk about it. So this is the best that I can do.
So I guess the central question here is the, and correct me if I'm wrong, Thomas, it's sort of the sense of the board about the appropriateness of these topics, on the LSB show.
I think the thrust of the comment was that they weren't cleared, and I've taken WPLW into issues that WPLW doesn't want to go to. Okay, let's talk about it.
Okay, well, yeah, the show is representing the LSB, so I guess the question I'll ask is, are there any comments or concerns about topics such as these from the board being raised during our show. Anybody have any thoughts about that? And I can't. Okay, Donna.
Yeah, I was thinking that the focus, it's important to keep the focus on what is happening with the LSB and what's happening with the station that the public would not normally know about, you know, because they're not sitting on the board, they're not in the meetings we're in, and they don't know what's coming down the pike. And I think, at least when I was working with the LSB show, I've tried to make sure that was the focus. Other political issues, it's one thing to give your opinion about issues and weave in your thoughts about things on a topic. I'm not speaking to that, but I'm talking about, you know, majority of the time, programming time for that show, to me, should be dedicated to the work of the LSB and the PNB and the things that, you know, that we're doing, that the station is doing, and even some of the other committees, actually, on the LSB, such as the Outreach Committee. That's a great opportunity to pump up the activities that are happening in the community where we're outreaching, you know, reaching out to the community. That's all I wanted to say.
Thanks, Donna. Uh-huh. Come on.
No question. I was just going to say that the August financials should be in everybody's inbox.
Okay.
Yep.
Sarah?
I'm coming in a little late here because this would be directed to Donna, but several people have probably heard me talk about wanting more hard science since on WPFW, if nothing else in snippets. And I have put together a small list of stuff I'd be very willing to talk to anybody that would be interested in talking to me about it. So, and we're not talking about using lots and lots of time here, but it's just would give the station a little bit more variety. We do very well covering the social sciences and other soft sciences, but we don't do any hard sciences. And I'd like to just do to broach the possibility of doing that. And I'm not saying that in a vacuum because I have something in mind. So if Donna would like to talk to me about it when I get back, I'd really, really love to.
Mr. Chair, can I respond?
Yes. Yes.
I'd be happy to talk with you about it, Sarah. And I think it's a programming related issue. I think that's the kind of thing that the committee wants to do. So I would also encourage you to come to the committee meeting and share your proposals on
being a hard science. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Vanessa.
So I understand that the LSB show is supposed to kind of be about the LSB. And I did not realize that actually until I had a conversation with Ron Pinchback, who explained that to me. That was the purpose. And that's a noble purpose. However, in terms of interest and practicality, it's dreadfully boring an hour to just focus on LSB stuff. And so it sort of almost compels people to talk about issues of interest. I think it makes the show a richer experience, gets people to listen. I cannot imagine all but the most devout LSB listeners or followers to pay attention for an hour to the events on the LSB. It just doesn't take an hour. It's just not enough content to fill up an hour. So although I understand that was not the intent of the show, I think it really adds value to talk about issues.
Okay. Thank you. Marcia. And I know you have to go soon, so get your 2 cents worth.
Susan Goodwin was first.
You're right. Yeah, I just wanted to support Vanessa and Thomas's statement. I really like the LSB show a lot, and I think one of the reasons why I like it is because it is an outreach show. I mean, they're involving the youth, and they're involving discussing issues about events that are important to the community. And they also do talk about the LSD from time to time. I just think, I agree with Vanessa. I think the show would really drag if what they talked about, if they summarized what we talk about every month and made a show out of it. So, you know, I'm supporting, the topics that are being discussed now. And I think they're doing a really good job. I enjoy the show.
Thank you. And Sue, I'm sorry. They're not coming up in order on my screen. You're next.
Oh, no problem. I just wanted to respond to the comment about science and say that as interim news director, please talk to me about this. I'm a former science editor at NPR, and I've often thought, how do we integrate science for our listeners in a meaningful way? So I would love to figure that out.
Good. Thank you. Captain McLeod.
Okay, I'm going to say about the LSD show. I understand that sometimes that LSD can be boring, but there are a lot of topics that we talked about last week. We had a meeting that lasted 3 hours, so you can talk for an hour. That really, an hour is really not the length of time that you have. You really only have about 55 minutes, to be honest with you. And you can talk about a lot of LSD stuff and make it sound pertinent to what that show is meant to be. When you start addressing other issues, you sound like community comment. Community comment comes on every Friday except for that last Friday of the month. And if your show starts sounding like community comment, it's no longer an LSD show. So there are enough topics and enough committees as, Donna Grimes pointed out, committees and things that's happening in the LSB that you may think that it's boring, but it's the LSB show. So you think it's boring, then the LSB show may be boring, but there are many people that listen to it. And we still need to stay focused on the LSB. And the example that I want to give is the Kwamina Akron. We took that as one of our responsibilities to put to share the light on it and talk to the public about it. But sometimes we want to take on everything. We want to take on what's going on, a murder that happens or something that happened in Alabama. Even if you look at that list that Mr. Blanton put up on the screen, most of those topics are national topics that you hear on the news or on TV or on community comment. So therefore I say that we're not here to take on the world. We are here to take on things that are very pertinent and we can do one at a time, but not discuss topics of interest of other organizations and other things that's happening. We take on maybe one or two at a time, but the main focus of the show is the LSB. No matter if you think it's boring, then you don't listen to a boring show. But the LSB is not boring. We have a lot of boring topics and things, but there are a lot of exciting things and a lot of things that we need to talk about that we can put on there publicly. And I still think the focus should be on LSB, and it's all right to drift away to a national issue every now and then, but I think that should be extremely minimal. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments on this point? All right. If not, thank you for raising that, Thomas. You've got some feedback, and I will also mull and give you my 2 cents within the next couple of days. And thank you for raising that.
Sabu through the stack?
Yes, Sabu.
I know, just since they are talking about the LSB show. You know, also, I don't know how many people on the board actually listen to the LSB show, because it's in the, you know, on the last Friday from 11 to 12. But we also had interviews with all the new board members, and we found out that they have a lot of skills and different qualifications. So I don't know about it being boring. I try to stay away from that because I agree that you don't want to, you want people to listen and get information and knowledge. So we try to sort of break it up a little bit and give you a little bit, including LSB information, trying to build around that. So, you know, That's it with that. Oh, and well, at the end of the year, December, you know, each year the chairs are voted on to be head of committees or shows. So if any LSB people feel that they can carry that or do that, you know, it'd be greatly appreciated to step forward. And I would be like a consultant, you know, if need be, but I'm not trying. I've been doing this for 5 or 6 years. So, and I am not a board member. So, I'd like, you know, to pass that back to the board, you know, so that we can, you know, maintain that. And I know we can do it. So, that's it.
Okay. Thank you. Moving along on the agenda, the next item is the community outreach report.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. Hi. Community outreach, our information is we are trying to finalize a location for the town hall, and we are currently looking at libraries within the D.C. area. And hopefully we'll get a call back soon as to which locations would be available to us. We were looking at a date before Thanksgiving, and also asking that members of the board, if you have suggestions on topics, that you provide, that you email those to us. And also wanting to meet with the general manager and the program director to speak with them, because we would like it them to be able to speak and talk to the community during the town hall. And we're also looking for someone to be the MC for the activity. We are still waiting to get final numbers for the 5K. And I think in the report that was presented, there are numbers that were provided. As the community outreach program met, we talked about the different things that were taking place with the board, and it did come up again about possibly finding a way to bring the board together along with management and with the programmers, so that we can come up with a way that everyone will move forward working together for WPFW. There are so many different factions that sometimes it's almost like the left hand doesn't know what the right's doing. So we're hoping that the board will think seriously about bringing everyone together in a workshop, a seminar, or something, so we can all communicate, because everyone on this board has great ideas on how to make WPFW the great station that it is and make it greater, but we're just not talking to each other and sharing those ideas and working together to make them happen. So that is the information from the outreach committee, and I think there are a few other members that might have some comments, but I'm going to mute myself. Unless there are questions about what I've shared.
I have just a couple of quick comments, Minerva, and thank you for that. First is, my understanding is that you are considering a hybrid event for the town hall.
Yes, I'm sorry. And you're right. That would also include having the Zoom capability for individuals who could not make it to a location to still be able to take part, because we want to involve everyone. Thank you,
yeah.
Dennis.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And the last thing you were saying, I think there's a lot of sentiment around trying to do what you suggested. And you know, let me just invite anyone on the board who has any ideas about, you know, any kind of efforts, events, activities to bring, well, the board itself together for one, but also mm-hmm. the board along with programmers and staff and management in any way. I think actually that the outreach committee is as good a place as any to incubate those ideas and try and craft some specific proposals for us to consider. So I'm going to suggest that any of those ideas, you can either send them directly to me, send them to the community outreach committee, and we'll take it from there. But yeah, I think there's a lot of sentiment to do something along those lines.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Donna.
Yes. Thank you. I have to ditto that. We talked about that in the programming committee meeting too, but I raised my hand because Minerva, I wanted to ask, has there been any movement on the newsletter yet? The newsletter that was prepared, that came out of the committee.
I'm sorry. At this time, since the program director is out due to illness, the newsletter is still waiting. We can't take it any further until we meet with her, and that would be Art working with her to and Vinny to get this together to go out.
Okay.
And when I say her, I mean Katia. I'm not being disrespectful or anything.
I knew that's what you were trying to work with Katia already, and I just wondered if there's been any progress, but
no.
Anyway, okay. Thank you.
Okay. I've got Eileen, Marty, and Arthur.
I didn't know where else to ask this question, so I chose the beach. Does a development committee still exist? I know Kathleen resigned as chair of it, but is anyone else on that committee, and should it exist? What's happening?
I think that's,
formation.
Yeah, so since there had not been a meeting and she has stepped down, I think it's safe to say for the moment that it's not in existence. I have an idea of a good, platform to discuss that, which I'll come to in a little while in this meeting.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Marty?
Okay, regarding the newsletter, Art is working on it, but he has to wait until Vinny gives him the go-ahead. He is anxious to get it done, but as Minerva said, we have to wait on Katia. She has to approve it, as well as Jerry. So as soon as we get management involved and collaborating with Arthur, it will be sent out. He's looking for November. So hopefully we can get it out in November, and he's trying to find a programmer to interview, because in each of his newsletters, he wants to have a programmer to interview. So it's he's going to get started, and we just have to wait until management and staff can work with him. Regarding the development committee, I'm hoping that if it does get back together, that whoever is in charge will let the outreach committee know, because we had asked before if members of the outreach committee could attend, but we never got any response. So if you all could please let us know if the development committee does come back together. And also, I don't know, did everybody get a copy of the outreach committee report? They were sent the copy?
Yes.
Oh, okay. We included in that about how, because we are the community outreach committee, we're concerned about community members and how they feel about WPFW. So we were very concerned about some of the disrespect that occurred at the August meeting, people attacking others. So we're hoping that that'll be the last time that that happens, because we really need to be aware that the community members are listening, and we want to make sure that they like what they hear, and so that they can continue to donate. So we're hoping that the disrespect that was shown at the August meeting will not occur again.
Thank you.
And I think Marcia.
Something like CSE.
Okay. I think Marcia Edwards wanted to speak on some community members not being able to come in on the August or September LSB meeting. Marcia? She's not here.
Thanks, Marty. I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We had discussed in the outreach committee that we felt that the community may have been improperly excluded from the scheduled LSB meetings due to a lack of sufficient notice, and we think that this exclusion could have prevented the community members from participating fully, as I understand, required by the rules and bylaws. Now, I posed my concerns to a couple of board members, either in a direct message or by email, and I hadn't had any response, but we did talk about this at length during the community outreach meeting. And the concerns fell into two main categories. One was whether Pacifica and PFW's requirements for notice, what are their requirements for notice as far as upcoming meetings, and whether the failure to notify everybody who's a party, an interested party, a stakeholder, what effect, if any, would that have on those gatherings that took place as far as their legitimacy as a meeting? As to the first point, we know that the notices of meetings are usually posted on the station's website. Now, the meeting notice for the last two attempted gatherings had information that was incorrect and or insufficient for purposes of everyone being able to attend. Now, I know for the second one, it wasn't posted for the general public, and the only people who were able to get on were LSB members or any non-LSB members who had direct contact with an LSB member or someone who had gotten contact information from an LSB member, as I did. Otherwise, we would not have, no one from the public would have been there at all. As for the second point, whether the meetings are even legitimate, if they, I'll say the gatherings are legitimate as if they occurred as they did. The same thing, that information was incorrect or insufficient for the most recent meeting. A lot of people, including myself, tried to log on. The only reason I was able to get on is I sent emails and texts to a whole bunch of folks and said, am I the only one who's having trouble accessing the meeting? And someone got back and contacted me with the correct information. So now, if the only people who were able to get into that meeting were LSB members or people who had contact with LSB members, but not from the general posting, my question now is whether whatever took place during those gatherings has any legitimacy, period. Because it really looks more like a glorified attempt at an executive meeting, not a meeting in which the public and other stakeholders, not just subscribers, because I don't think it's limited to people who pay any money.
Nope.
So if someone could answer those questions for me, we did raise them in the committee meeting, but I'd be happy to get an answer.
Okay. As to the first part, I can tell you, you are correct about the requirement for postings. That was a mistake. I accept responsibility for that, and I'm working to make sure that that doesn't happen again. As for the legitimacy of the gatherings, that is something that someone else would have to rule on. I don't know if that's something that if there's a mechanism for some sort of appeal to the national board for something like that. Julie, do you have any idea what would be the proper channels for determination if there is and would there be a is there a process, a formal process for calling that question somehow?
I'm sorry, I'm multitasking. Could you just ask me the full question a little bit more?
Yeah. So the question, there's a question about the legitimacy of the, especially the September meeting, for which there was, no public prior notice because the Zoom wasn't working.
Yeah. I mean, people can, I don't know that there's a formal process that people can, raise or, you know, an objection or whatever. I mean, the rules are, however, that we have to give 7 days advance notice of how to attend a public meeting, right? And we did, except that the Zoom didn't work, technical difficulties. And so when we decided that we would try to hold a meeting using a different Zoom, that meant that we hadn't properly noticed the public, right? So that's a violation of CPB regulations. Now, we don't get CPB money, so it doesn't matter if we violate CPB regs, except we would like someday to get CPB money again. So we do want to follow those regs. So the solution was we could have a meeting as long as it was strictly a closed session meeting. And what you cannot do when you have a closed session meeting is talk about open session information or, you know, deliberations that you would otherwise do in open session like committee meetings. So that's what we decided not to do. So somebody could listen to the audio and make sure that we didn't do any closed stuff.
Well, let me just correct you. That was what we discussed the first time in September 14th. And September 28th, we did have a regular meeting and a closed session.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Okay. Yes, you're right. And so I'm sure that we gave the appropriate at least 7 days advance notice on the meeting for the 28th.
But the same thing happened. The Zoom wasn't working. So the same thing happened on the 28th as on the 14th. What I would say is that there is a recording available of the open meeting from the 28th. And that has been posted so people can find out what happened. But you're right that doesn't solve the problem of the fact that they were excluded from participating.
It has not been posted yet.
Well, it has not been posted, but it will be posted.
Working on it.
Okay. Yeah. Technology is supposed to be our friend, but it doesn't always work for us as intended.
Marcia?
Oh, okay.
No, wait a minute. Hold it. I was going back to Marcia Edwards. Because I know that wasn't a full answer of your question because apparently we don't have a complete answer to your question.
If I might weigh in on that.
Yes, 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 John.
One thing I would just make a little note that it is a good idea to have, vice chairs of all your committees as opposed to co-chairs in cases where the chair is not calling a meeting that is supposed to be called. Now, to answer the question, some of the stuff that happens at meetings can be ratified at the next meeting when you do have a quorum. However, you got to be careful because the action may not be ratifiable, but the motions themselves without taking actions can be ratified. So that's one solution to having a meeting when everyone was not notified.
Okay, let me just add this quickly because actually quorum was not really the issue. It was more the public access. But I'm wondering if it's possible also to in posting a meeting, and since we're talking about a Zoom meeting, it's sort of the location of the meeting. If it's possible to post an alternative address. You know, if we are able to have a backup, so if anything happens with the primary Zoom that was, where the meeting is supposed to attend, if there is a backup, if that is also included in the public announcement, if that would solve it. Doesn't okay. solve what happened in September, but I'm just talking
as
about
as long as everyone gets the notice of the backup.
Okay. Okay. Well, maybe we'll work on that. Mr. McLeod.
Okay. I just wanted to, piggyback on something that, Martha has said, before you called up on me about, I read the outreach report and saw when she talked about the, community members that attended the August meeting, listening as disrespectful comments and other comments in the meeting were made. And that we should not engage in professional negative behavior. And she made a recommendation, for you to establish a working group within the LSB to discuss ways in which, all participants of LSB meetings can work together harmoniously. And I said, that's already been done. It has been done, But I just want to say Martha is 100% correct in what she said. Only thing is, instead of recommending a recommendation being established a working group, CSE is already that established working group. The CSE needs to tighten up a little bit and start expressing and enforcing these rules and regulations that have already in place. So I agree with Martha 100%. She wanted to recommend a group. I'm just saying we already have that group, but that group needs to, address these type of topics that Martha is talking about. And then if that doesn't work, then you can, she can recommend establish a group. Thank you.
Yep, I agree. And also, before the September 28th meeting, but maybe it may have been after as well. Those guidelines that had been formulated by the CSC committee, were redistributed to the board. Marty and then Eileen.
Okay, I just wanted to know, is, the September 28th LSB meeting, was that considered legitimate or what? Did you all decide that?
I'm considering it legitimate until it's shown to be otherwise. There is a question has been raised, and I don't have a good answer for the question at this point.
Can we maybe get it by the next meeting?
I don't know, since the we just got I don't know that anybody knows more than the chair of the national board on that topic right now. I will pursue it some more. Julie?
Okay. What I was going to ask was...
I think I was first.
Yeah, and this is in relation to what I was just saying. I see you, Eileen. Go ahead, Julie.
Go, Julie, you're muted.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, well, because I muted myself after, because I thought it wasn't my turn. I was just going to ask if we actually conducted business at the September 28th meeting, because let's make up a little story here, that suppose we voted on a motion to move WPFW from its current location to some other location, right? Totally hypothetical, made up story, right? But so that would be conducting business if the LSB had passed a motion like that, right? But I don't, and that would be an illegal decision, because that would be at a meeting, that the public wasn't properly noticed. And so I think part of, and Mr. Tatum can correct me if I'm wrong, if all we did was hear reports from committees and have discussion about stuff in the open session, my recollection is the open session was pretty brief before we went into closed session. And if we didn't actually conduct businesses and make decisions, it's unclear that there's anything that could be deemed actions that could be deemed illegal that would need to be reversed as a consequence of the meeting not being properly noticed. Is it bad? It's bad. It's not good to not let the public know about it, but I'm not sure there's a real actionable harm here, okay, other than we need to try to do better in the future.
That's a good point. For that, we can't have an answer for that by the next meeting, because I will review review the September 28th meeting, look at exactly what was done, we will come back next month with that determination. And if there was anything that was any actions, then those would we would revisit those actions.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, Eileen?
Yeah, two things. I do have the recording of the open session of the 28th. So I guess I should send that to you, Dennis. I sent it to Otis to be posted, but he hasn't done that yet. So,
yes.
I have it for anybody who wants it. Write to me and we'll get you a link. The other thing is the CSE that Arthur McLeod mentioned, we wouldn't mind having other people join that little committee. Right now it's just Bill Curtis, Frank Stearns, and myself, and none of us is actually the chair. I you know, convened a little bit because I was on it before they joined it, but I could definitely benefit from having another member or two. So, you know, let me know and we'll, you know, figure out a new meeting. Just write to me or one of the other guys. Okay?
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay,